since the dawn of the United States. You can pull that off in Boston. It was also the peak of the wine and small mason jars trend, also the tail end of the polenta trend, and also the fresh beginning of kale's long reign in American cuisine. An era of rustic porridges and roughage, wine and sturdy goblets. I felt, for a moment, timeless. Leah had invited a friend to join us, a woman working at MIT. She was dynamic and full of energy and had a brown, blunt-cut bob and wore a handsome gray knit sweater. She talked on and on about how our little beetle-shaped flip phones were about to become obsolete. Soon, very soon, phones would be computers, and we would carry around these little handheld computers with us all the time. It took some imagination to picture a computer in a hand, but I trusted this woman. She worked at MIT. I asked her what she was working on, thinking she would say a system of warding off nuclear attacks or a way to get medical information faster to doctors. Dating, she said. You'll know everything about someone before you meet them. People will have profiles with their likes and dislikes, like if you walked in here, you will know who you are compatible with and message them in real time. It might have been the first time I heard the phrase, in real time, in real time. A computer in my hand, and the ability to message people and tell them that they are sexy before you meet them. I remember this filling me with excited embarrassment. Walking into every room was about to become like walking into a nudist surprise party. You would know everyone around you and what they liked, when they were naked, and maybe even what they looked like when they were naked. Also, everyone around you would know you too, nakedly, and you would have to adjust to this quickly and pretend to smile and be grateful and civic while your body caught up with your brain. I remember nothing else we discussed that night except this woman's predictions of a near future. But I recall looking around the dimly lit restaurant at my mason jar of Malbec and goat cheese and beet salad with candied walnuts, and then out into the traffic and the streaks of light through the imperfect glass. It's me, hi. Around 2003, my sexuality started interweaving with the internet. Now it vibrates in my pocket all the time. I'm notified if someone near me is horny, likes me, or just asks, what's up? Even while I'm riding the D train over the Manhattan Bridge, my desire is brimming in me constantly like hot rice water foaming over a dancing lid. In UX design parlance, my longing for love, ever present since I was a child, was gamified. And like side salads you didn't really want, all that longing comes with envy, jealousy, and shame, emotions that have also fused with the internet, all available for me to feel and refeel in a scrolling loop. The lust objects I could only dare to peek at when I was a teenager have become as ever-present as candy bars at a cash register. Thirst traps and Insta-studs abound, their abs and flirty bro smirks and aspirational lifestyles come at me constantly on my little burning screen of my smartphone. I grew up in the suburbs of Northern Virginia in a town called Springfield. Yeah, sexy town. And I knew I was gay or queer, whatever you want to call it, from the minute I was born. Like many queer kids from the 70s and 80s, I always felt like I had a secret that I couldn't tell anyone. So I sat in my room, listened to Kate Bush, and wrote a lot of poetry, wondering, longing for the day when I would meet a nice boy. Now, decades later, I keep shopping for a satisfying orgasm like it's boneless farm-raised chicken breast at Whole Foods. It's enough to give me cultural whiplash. Just how did my devices become my desire machine? How did my desire get hooked up to a million electrodes? My thoughts about the internet and my sexuality can be reduced to two questions. Number one, is our super connected modern life damaging me as a person? Is it changing all of us so that we no longer want simpler things like love and family and drinkable bland diner coffee? Or number two, are our desires the same as they've always been? Deep, uncontrollable, timeless, as old as mankind, no matter the means of communication, websites, 900 numbers, raised red lanterns. Basically, am I just a guy like all those before me? I always think about my friend Patrick, who grew up in the small suburban town